This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, Northern Michigan golfers. Welcome to another episode of Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. This week, my co-host and I, Kevin Frisch, are joined by our good friend Jason Gus, one of the finest teaching pros in the state of Michigan, and we discuss the boom in golf and particularly golf instruction, especially among couples and families, and we look at how instruction has impacted the young players on the PGA Tour and the great success they've found. So stay tuned here on this station for Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Good morning, Michigan golfers, and welcome to Finding Fairways, presented by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with the one, the only, the original co-host of this radio program, Kevin Frisch. First of all, congratulations. Ace number 5.
Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, pretty exciting.
Kiss my butt.
But it was a long one to wait for 5. 29 years.
29 years. You know, I got to give you kudos. It wasn't a gimme ace. The 16th hole at the Kingsley Club is no joke. And I know what kind of conditions you played in yesterday because I was in Kingsley for a little bit and it was quite windy.
It was windy. It was getting windier as we played, and it was playing a little into the wind. And pin was kind of towards the front on the right side and hit a 6-iron. Didn't hit it perfect, but... You know,
you did hit it perfect. It went in the freaking hole.
You know what? I guess I did. But it, you know, it landed. You always have to kind of play it to the front right corner of that green, or even off the green on the right side, because everything kicks left towards the green.
And, all right, we don't need 20 minutes on it.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, kick left, rolled on, and apparently went in because I didn't see it.
Number 5 for Kevin. Unfortunately, his brother has 10.
Yes, the Frisch brothers have 15 between us.
That's insane. The Coyne brothers have 1 between the 4 of us.
Yeah, I texted my brother. I said, I'm hot on his heels
hot
now.
Hot on his heels now. Well, you know, having witnessed a number of them, I can only imagine how much better it feels when it's you.
Yes, I've witnessed 10 too.
Yeah, I've witnessed a lot, but I caddied a bunch. So
right,
your tips always rose when the guy that you were caddying for made a hole in
one. That's nice, exactly, exactly.
Especially,
no, it was fun.
Especially back in the day when a good tip was $4 and you got a 20, you're like, holy, 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 holy. So we've got a great show coming up today. We're going to have our good friend Jason Gus on with us, one of the finest, if not the finest, teaching professional in the state of Michigan.
Definitely one of them, that's for sure. He's right up at the top.
But we're not really going to talk lessons this week. We want to talk about the PGA Tour. I mean, I can't remember a time, except for maybe 1999, Tiger at the absolute apex when he had the Tiger Slam, that golf has been better.
It's been amazing. I mean, and you know, who'd have thunk a pandemic was going to light a fire under golf all the way around, between just the popularity of golf this summer, the TV ratings are up.
Equipment sales, ball sales, everything.
It's across the board.
Historically, great levels.
It's been amazing. Yeah. And then you throw on top of that the quality of play that we've been having in these events has been, you know, spectacular.
And I don't know what it is. I know that Jon Rahm took it personally that he'd lost number one, so he went out and, I mean, that putt, it gets lost in the sauce. Dustin Johnson made an amazing putt to make it into that playoff, maybe a harder putt.
I can't remember a sequence like that.
It happened at the Memorial.
I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, it's but Morikawa's putt, 20 feet downhill, not a lot of break. The two putts.
I'm talking about the one that JT made.
Oh, yeah, one that JT made, but these two putts.
Yeah.
And let's give a shout out to Olympia Fields, who I think did an amazing audition for the 2030 U.S. Open.
If it's not going to Oakland Hills,
well, I think it can still go to Oakland Hills in 28
or 29,
but or at some point in time. But that golf course played really well.
Well, you know, it kind of maybe vaulted itself into the same kind of talk of Oakmont and Wingfoot, where, you know, like if the U.S. Open crashes, give us 2 weeks and we'll be ready for you.
Olympia Fields was impressive.
No, it was. And the field stood up once again, just like the PGA.
Yep.
So when we return here on Finding Fairways, we'll discuss the influx of great young talent with Jason Gus. And we're also going to talk about the explosion of couples golf in the game of golf here on Finding Fairways. It's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone with me. Tim, even though we're late in the golf season, at least here in the north, a lot of equipment companies are releasing new irons. Mizuno's no different.
Yeah, the Mizuno JPX line is one that a lot of people in the industry know about. Super popular. They just launched on Monday a new line of JPX 921 irons. Very familiar. The people that are familiar with it, they'll kind of be understand the cadence of the irons. They have a tour iron, forged, and then the really popular Hot Metal and Hot Metal Pro irons, which are available on the 17th of September for full customization and delivery.
So if you customize now, that puts you ahead of the curve. If you go on carlsgolfland.com, can you pre-order them?
Yep, they're available for pre-order today, and the official launch date is the 17th of September.
And then you were saying there's new TaylorMade equipment coming out as well.
Yeah, I think we touched on it before. The P700 series is launching now. It's in stock. TaylorMade's already having a ton of orders coming in that is even putting some of their production a little bit behind. But yeah, the P-Series is in stock now. And they have a limited edition USA-themed driver called the Let Freedom Fly, the Sim Max driver. It's pretty cool, too. It's limited. We have a couple in stock if anybody's interested.
So your stock is still pretty good. You know, some places like PGA Superstores in some areas, people finding it hard to get equipment, but that's not the case at carlsgolfland.com or your brick-and-mortar stores.
We still have a ton of stuff in stock. We have a lot of good inventory still left, so I wouldn't turn people away quite yet.
No, that's good. I just, you know, with the explosion of golf this year, inventories in some places, some drivers have been a little difficult to get.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a challenge. We're trying to order as much stuff as we can, obviously, from the manufacturers.
And since it's the Tour Championship week, you've got free shipping until, is that through Labor Day, Tim?
We're doing it through Monday, but we'll go through midnight on Monday the 7th.
Yeah, no minimum. So anything that you want off the carlsgolfland.com website is going to come to you free. You can't beat that. Tim, we urge everybody to head to carlsgolfland.com and enjoy the Tour Championship. Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. And on the phone with us is our good friend Jason Gus from the Jason Gus Golf Academy down in Lansing. Good morning, Jason.
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
We're fantastic.
We're doing great.
First and foremost, are you experiencing the same surge in golf, whether it's in lessons or play, down there Eagle Eye, right?
Yeah, Eagle Eye and Hawk Hollow,
right.
Also teaching at Warwick Hills a bit as well in Grand Blanc. But it's been insane. So, you know, the negative of this, the economy and COVID and all that, it's actually been a positive for the golf industry. So it's been a bonus on my part.
Well, yeah, I mean, that has been the overall sentiment of everybody that we've spoken to all year here on Finding Fairways. You know, the golf courses here in northern Michigan are pumping out rounds at record numbers. And you know, Kevin always has his pulse on that when he's not playing golf.
it's been an amazing summer with everybody. You know, properties are up everywhere. But, you know, Jason, how much new business and maybe newer, you know, new to the game players, have you had a lot of calls on those types of lessons?
Yeah, a lot of new business. And, you know, I have friends in the golf retail world, and they're telling me that, you know, every day people are walking in and starter sets, but there's no starter sets. So they're just buying, right, like AP2s off the shelf for starter sets. I mean,
nice.
I mean, they're loving it, but it's hard to get. I was talking to one of my really good players the other day, and he was telling me it's hard to just find wedges, just get new wedges anywhere.
Right.
So it's been a bonus in the golf industry.
Somebody told me they walked into a PGA Tour superstore. I don't remember what city. It might have been out east, maybe New York area, and said that, you know, you can't find the drivers, you can't find the wedges. They're it's tough to maintain stock right now.
Well, that's that way in a lot of segments. I mean, it's hard to find cars. You can't find boats or ATVs. So, I mean, it's just amazing. 2 years ago, we sat on this radio show and talked about how we're going to spur interest in the game, get youth back into the game. One of the things, Jason, that I wanted to talk to you about, Kevin and I both know that your lovely bride is a really fine player, so you guys play a fair amount of golf together, which is something Kevin and I don't do. We don't play with our wives. But the boom in couples golf has been startling.
Yeah, you know, I think there's two things to that. A, there's not a lot of other activities you can feel like you can safely go do right now. And B, a lot of people have more time, which was always one of the, you know, the big negatives to golf. You know, some people are working from home, so it's easier to slide out and play. But, you know, for me and my wife, you know, that's our time we spend together. We both enjoy playing golf. I don't enjoy getting beat by my pregnant wife right now, but we do enjoy going out there and playing.
I was just going to ask about that. How do the shots roll there? Does she give you shots? You give her shots? How does this, do we even want to dive into that right now?
Oh, that is brutal.
Well, I can tell you this. She is playing the best golf I've seen her play since I've been with her. And she's shot, I think, 68, three of her last six rounds or something. So I'm just getting pummeled into the ground with
my
playing.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, luckily.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, but you can just easily go, like, how can you beat my pregnant wife? I mean, you know, I gotta. I'm just laying off. That's funny. A friend of mine once, his wife, at 8.5 months pregnant, won the club championship at Pine Lake by 20 strokes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I mean, she was pregnant. It was their second child, so.
and hey, Jason, congratulations, too.
Yeah, good job, man.
Oh, thank you very much.
Do you know what you're having?
We're going to have a little girl, yes.
That's
everybody's
awesome.
Having girls. I don't know anybody that's had a boy recently. I mean, my granddaughter's
a girl. I told my wife, I said, I'm glad we have a nice basement because she's not going to leave it till she's 30, so that's great.
That's great.
I know how that goes. On the teaching side of it, have you been teaching couples?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of families and, you know, mother, daughters, dad, sons that are coming out. And, you know, it's really nice. You know, I know it's kind of a negative way to put a boom back in golf, but playing golf and walking, I think walking to start the year. And I think people are realizing why they love golf in the first place, because it's just a great time to go out there and, you know, you get to spend more time chatting and walking than doing the activity in golf, which, you know, I think people forgot what they appreciate about the game. And I think this is kind of bringing it all back.
Yeah.
Well, plus, you know, unless you're like me and you stress out over some of your shots or where the ball might go as opposed to where you planned it to go, it can be a great stress reliever. And I think people are also, you know, taking in that natural. They're not so concerned about the time. So it's time away from all the other pressures that are happening in this crazy world of ours.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the one beautiful thing about, you know, golf on TV now is, you know, we see all these guys shoot amazing scores. But I think the more press and TV that golf gets, we see these great players shoot bad scores too. And I think people are realizing that, you know, this is just a really hard sport. You know, if Dustin and Rory and those guys can play bad, then look, none of us are above playing bad.
No, and that's you know, you look at the 2 weeks that we had between Boston and Chicago, you know, you go from 30 under, you know, which is great. I think it's exciting to see that kind of golf.
Well, that Boston, you know, that Boston TPC is no joke either.
No,
I mean,
it's not, but I think if people see a lot of birdies, I think people are going to look at golf a little bit differently and say, hey, let's get out and try that. But at the same time, you go to Chicago to Olympia Fields, and it says, you know what, golf can be challenging too. And what we saw at Olympia Fields I thought was great. So a mixture of seeing that on the tour is fun.
We're going to talk to Kevin a little bit about the PGA Tour in the next with Jason in the next tour. But other than the fact that you just – what can you say about Dustin Johnson to be able to do both? You know, usually a player is either a scorer or a grinder, and Johnson did both pretty well this past weekend.
Yeah, and people forget, you know, 3-4 weeks ago he shot 78, 78, 80 and withdrew.
Right.
Right.
Like, you know, we tend to only see the great stuff. But, you know, these guys that are professional golfers, they're battling through their bad rounds, too. It just doesn't, you know, sometimes it doesn't quite get televised as much. So we think that these guys should shoot 65 every time they go play.
But getting back to couples in golf, Jason, so you mentioned that you are teaching a lot of families and things like that. How different are the dynamics when you've got a couple people that you're teaching at the same time that are family members, as opposed to, you know, like giving a group lesson to gals or a couple of buddies?
Well, I, you know, one of the things I try to stress the most is, you know, golf, for whatever reason, golf instruction and playing golf, everyone wants to help you. And a lot of times the help doesn't really help. So what I spend a lot of time doing is like giving each person, say, look, these are the two things you're allowed to comment on the other person's swing. You know, yeah. And you're not allowed to go outside that box, because and you just explain to them that, like, look, a lot of times you can do more harm than help, even though everyone is trying to help.
Right.
And then it keeps the, you know, if someone hits a bad shot, they're not feeling like they're going to get judged right out of the box every time, which makes golf even harder.
Well, you know, and the oldest saying in the book is, it's a true fool that wants to teach their spouse the game of golf. So I would just love to be a fly on the wall if you're there, you know, with Kevin Frisch and his wife, and tell Kevin, like, shut up. Just shut up and let her hit the golf ball.
I want to be the fly on the wall after you get home.
Well, you know, golf comes very easy for some people. Like, I heard Chris got a hole in one yesterday, so I know the game's very easy for him. But I had one question for Kevin. And I guess I didn't know Call of the Wild was back open again, so that's exciting. I was curious if they have the golf carts running too up there, Kevin.
Call of the Wild, the greatest putt-putt in Gaylord.
That's right. Dude, you have to realize if my only chance of getting a hole-in-one was reduced to putting, I would not have one.
That's true. Now, Jason, you and I know that statement is 100% true.
The fact that I don't have to putt is only a good thing.
The only time,
congrats, by the way.
Hey, thank you.
I know that hole, and I know the conditions. I was out in Kingsley. I wasn't on the golf course, but it was windy out there yesterday, so it is a...
you'll hear about my skanky 6-iron that found the bottom of the hole.
6-iron?
It was into the wind.
Oh, yeah, sure it was.
Hey, I'm not a young guy anymore, okay? Give me a break.
I've given you all the breaks you need. I guess I get another shot from you next time we play. When we return here on Finding Fairways, we'll stay with Jason Guss and discuss from a teaching pros aspect just how much instruction has now affected the PGA Tour and the influx of great young players. All that and more here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. We are back here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. We're on the phone with our good friend Jason Guss from the Jason Guss Golf Academy. Jason, before we discuss the PGA Tour, I know you said you're busy, but can you still slide lessons in? How can people get in touch with you to improve their game?
Yeah, they can just call Hawk Hollow and book a lesson, or they can go online. I have a website called meandmypro.com, and they can book lessons online, you know, or you can send me an email at jasongussgolf.com, and any of that, you can get a hold of me, and we'll try to get you in.
All right.
Awesome.
So, Jason, you know, when I first met you, you were giving instruction to Preston Topper, who at that time was a pretty good player, a very young player. You spent a lot of time working with the kids in and around Gaylord. A lot of those players have turned into really fine players, and I know you've done a lot of that down in Lansing. So explain to our listeners, you know, how golf instruction has evolved into making these really young kids. I mean, we see these kids 14, 15 years old hitting at 300 yards off the tee and everything else. Even when we were good players as we were young, yeah, we were never that developed. So what has happened?
Well, I mean, the technology that you're allowed to use now that's available for these kids is unbelievable. I mean, just think of the wintertime instruction. You know, I have two TrackMan 4s, indoor bays, putting greens, and they have the ability to practice with great technology all winter. So you look at, like, just this summer, Michigan-based golfers who've done big things. You have Donnie Trosper and Jake Neen Monday qualifying for PGA Tour events. You've got Sarah Burnham, a Michigan State grad, playing great on the LPGA Tour. You've got Sarah White, a Michigan resident who just won the first Symetra event. It's just getting easier to train all year long. You don't have to move to Florida or Arizona to do it. So that's a big part of it.
Kudos to you and all the instructors out there, because these kids are ready to go.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it. You know, all the instructors out there. I mean, I know when I started teaching for Rick Smith at 21 years old, you know, there was only a handful of guys in the state of Michigan that were really teaching golf. So you had to go, you know, seek out a great instructor. Now, you know, there's a lot of great instructors in our state. So it's easier for kids to get to them and to get more training, which is why it's easier for them to play better sooner.
And there's an influx right now. You might see an influx of more kids coming your way, because this summer, you know, junior golf is growing across the country. Camps, more kids are going to camps, more kids are playing in golf events, more kids are starting the game. I think I was talking to Boyne last week, and their junior paid rounds are up like 51%. TGA golf camps in Detroit are up 40%. So there's a lot of kids, I think, that are going to be coming into this game in the next couple of years. So you might be helping a lot more out.
I hope so. You know, I really enjoy teaching young kids that want to learn. I don't really care their ability level. I just want kids that want to learn. And just to be able to, you know, I heard a saying a long time ago from a really good instructor, and he said, you know, it's a lot easier to mess up a good player than it is to help him. You know, I mean, sometimes we want to dig in and make them have perfect golf swings, but I think sometimes less is more, and a little self-discovery in these kids goes a long way. So, you know, if we can remember as teachers, we're there to guide them, you know, not fix them, I think they get better way faster.
You brought up an interesting point that I have brought up on the air with a couple of people. I talked to Jeff Roth about this. And talk about messing up a great player. Jordan Spieth, what has happened to this kid? I heard somebody say something to me or say something on the air at Golf Channel that they didn't really hammer home, but it made a ton of sense to me. Is he been overanalyzed? Is this something where, you know, he came out with a tremendous beginning of his career, three majors, people are whispering the next Tiger and everything else, and now he just seems so lost. Jason, what do you see from an instructional point?
Well, I mean, welcome to golf, right? We've all been where he is. We've all been so lost, you know, and I think that's the first message I try to send to people when they come here and they're lost, just to say, hey, look, some of this is normal, so don't panic. The next thing that happened with Jordan is, you know, Tiger was the rare person that could be at the top of his game and then change his golf swing and then go back to the top of his game. That doesn't work for everyone. You know, I think Jordan was playing so well and tried to make some fairly big changes, and he kind of lost it, you know. And so you get to this point sometimes where I say sometimes it's easier to mess up good players than it is to help them. But these guys are such competitors that they want to continue to get better. And as a coach, sometimes the hard conversation is to say, hey, let's keep what we're doing and try to just slowly get a little bit better in other places instead of, you know, try to reinvent the wheel, because the downside is you can lose it all.
So, Jason, what about Bryson DeChambeau and what he's doing and how he's, you know, obviously it doesn't work for everybody, but he seems to be on a path where it's been working for him this year and where he's going with his game.
Yeah, and that, you know, that wasn't so much swing technique as it was, I'm just going to try to bash it as far as I can bash it. Which I think is a little freer of the mind way of playing, which sometimes for us guys that get out there, the more we can get our mind out of it, kind of the better it is. You know, on TrackMan, I've had people before, a lot actually, where I'll tell them, you know, I want you to swing as fast as you can, and the faster they start swinging, the straighter they start hitting it, you know, because they're not trying to be so perfect. So when I look at Bryson and Jordan, it's kind of two different things. One's getting your mind out of it, and one's kind of putting your mind more in it.
You know, back to Jordan for a minute, you know, somebody who is going to try to change his swing, I don't know, is he looking for distance or whatever he's trying to do?
Looks like it. Yep.
at what point, and I think Tiger did this a little bit recently in the past couple of years where he started looking at his old swing and standing up a little bit taller, getting back to what he used to be. At what point does Jordan just say, you know what, let's go back and look at the old videos of what I was doing back then and let's get back to that point?
Yeah, and sometimes that's easier said than done. But I think that's exactly what he's trying to do, is just trying to go back to where he was. And then, you know, that's the conversation sometimes you have to have with the player, the tour players, to say, hey, look, you know, we don't really, sometimes going down this road of changing everything isn't going to be a huge benefit. But, you know, it's part of what makes them great. It's part of what has gotten them where they are, is to change and do as much as they can to get better. So it's a really fine line. And, you know, when you look at the tour player coach and player relationship, you know, we don't also know what's going on in that relationship the whole time. So we don't know if it's led more by Cameron or more by Jordan. So sometimes, you know, I know critics are pretty harsh, but unless you're standing in that moment at the time listening to what's going on, it's pretty easy to judge. You know I watched Rick teach Phil a lot, and, you know, I know Rick always wanted Phil's swing a little shorter, and Phil didn't always want to do it. So I know
he
Rick
never did
get
it.
Beat up a lot. Rick used to get beat up a lot about not shortening his swing. But, you know, I watched Rick try to do that, and Phil didn't love it.
Yeah. How do you
and
like?
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
How did you like Phil at his senior debut?
It'll be interesting. I mean, you couldn't have had a better debut on the senior tour than what Phil did. And he had to feel like Paul Bunyan, because he's pounding it, you know, 40 yards past everybody else on the senior tour, which, for whatever reason, Phil loves to be long. And, you know, going back very quickly to Jordan, you know, Jordan can go ahead and go back to his old game, but the guys at the top of the list of great players now are 25 yards longer than they were when Jordan was at the top of his game. And, you know, that's a big distance gap to make up on a week-to-week basis on the PGA Tour, Jason.
It is, but Jordan's got that nice little thing in his bag that's about 35 and a half inches long that was way better than everyone else's.
Yeah.
And if he can get that thing kind of fired back up again and just do what he used to do and keep it in front of him, he'll be fine. You know, I'd love to see him get back to it, because, you know, when you teach golf every day and you see people who love the game that struggle, it's really hard to watch, because we've all been there, and golf's no fun. And as I tell everyone that comes for lessons, unfortunately, golf doesn't care about your feelings.
No, it doesn't. So very briefly, we got about a minute left, guys. So we're in the second year of the Tour Championship where they handicap the field, and, you know, Dustin Johnson has a two-stroke lead over the entire field. What do you guys think of this concept? It actually worked out pretty cool last year. What's your thoughts, Jason?
Well, it worked out beautiful last year, right? Rory shot the lowest score for the week and end up winning. So I think that was pretty interesting. And I like the concept of them saying that, you know, a guy shouldn't be able to lose places without playing a hole. And so I think they have a cool concept. I'd like to see how it plays out again this year. But I tell you what, it's interesting.
Yep. I'm not a big fan of it. Just my own opinion. I'd like to see them do something, and I know you and I have discussed this, but I'd like to see them get to some kind of match play format. And maybe based on how you finish the regular season, maybe you don't have to do the stroke play portion. Maybe you're exempt and get to go right to the final 16 or the final 8 or whatever they get based on how you play.
Jason, Gus, thanks so much for taking the time out and joining us on Finding Fairways. Thanks, and congratulations again on the upcoming birth of your daughter. We hope and pray that everything turns out well. Do you have a name in mind? Is it Tigress?
her name's going to be Gianna, and we're going to call her Gigi.
Oh, all right, that's awesome.
Cool, awesome.
That's awesome. Well, congrats, and you better start working on your game. You can't keep getting your butt kicked by her.
Yeah, and I'm just still waiting for that little invite to Kingsley this summer. So, Jerry, if you get one, let me know.
Okay? Hey, I just for you both to know, it's an open invite, so anytime you want to play.
Okay, well, we'll send the helicopter for you, Jace.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Fairways brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. And It's so great to catch up with Jason. Truly one of the best teachers. I know you worked with Rick Smith. I don't know anybody under Rick's tutelage that has gone as far as Jason has.
Jason's, you know, Golf Digest Best Young Teachers, you know, one of the top teachers in the country. So he's done great, and he knows the golf swing. He's wonderful. I've had lessons from him. And
he's so even keel. As he said, he loves teaching young kids. So if you have a son or a daughter who has got interest in the game or shows a little bit of potential, both Kevin and I can vouch for the fact that he has developed a lot of really young players into very, very fine players.
He definitely has. He's got a little stable there of youth that he really developed into some really great
players. I would imagine that Gigi, his daughter, is going to be a pretty good player. That's just a guess.
I'm just going to guess that's going to be pretty good.
Because his wife can get it around. So, again, congratulations to them. We've got the Tour Championship and then the U.S. Open coming up. Yeah. We just talked about do you see a way that Dustin Johnson doesn't win the Tour Championship?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a possibility. Those five guys,
he's never played Eastlake very well.
No, and those five guys, well, the top three, him, Rahm, and Justin, they're some great players.
Those three great players right there.
Now, what I will say—
And whoever wins is going to be number one again.
Right,
yeah,
which is great.
Yep.
And what I will say, though, is I was saying back in July that this could be a year where we haven't seen somebody win two majors in the same year. And this could be a year where somebody does win two majors just because of how close they are together and if somebody gets hot. And I think DJ right now is set up prime to win at Wingfoot and to win at Augusta. And I always said the knock on him at Augusta has been his putter. And right now his putter is on fire.
Well, he's putting better, so we'll see how he puts Eastlake. Kevin and I have both played that golf course. We were just talking off air. The greens are brutal there.
Oh, the greens are tough.
Yeah, they're all crowned.
Classic Ross.
Yeah, classic Donald Ross. They all run off into different areas. Atlanta this time of year is going to be hot as hell, and the greens are going to be fast. So DJ's putting has certainly improved. It better stay that way. That's why I don't like Rory's chances. Rory's just – I mean, he actually putted really well at Olympia Field. He just didn't make anything.
He doesn't make anything, and his wedge game is awful right now. Honestly,
it's not awful. It's just not to his level.
If I was him, I would do something. I don't know if you got to call Dave Pels. I'm not saying he's got to change his methodology on his wedges, but something's not right with his wedges. Inside of 100 yards or 120 yards, he can't get it. He can't get it to within 20 feet.
You know, he changed caddies. I don't remember who his old caddy was. He was an older gentleman. He won all his majors and everything else with that guy. Now he's got Harry Diamond on the bag, who's a friend of his. He hasn't really won anything. I mean, he was playing really good golf, and he's won a lot of regular tournaments, but it certainly hasn't paid off in the bigger picture.
No, these guys are so good with their swings. They're so good, and they can figure it out. I know caddies are important to some degree, but at the end of the day, he's the guy swinging the club. He's the guy pulling it. Right now with Rory, I think it comes down to inside of 130 yards and his putter.
Well, I know that JT is waiting for his caddy to get healed up, but it's been interesting to see Bones on his bag.
That's the other thing. If I had to pick who's the guy I'm going to pick after DJ in these majors, it's going to be Justin, because you've got the best caddy, arguably, in the last 25 years on the bag.
Well, he's won there. You know, Phil's won at Eastlake, so that means Bones has won at Eastlake.
And Bones was there at Wingfoot, and Bones knows Augusta.
Well, the wild card there is Rahm. He's just unpredictable. When he gets hot, he's like Vinnie Johnson. I mean, all of a sudden, it's, you know, get the hell out of the way.
Golf's version of the microwave.
Yeah, I mean, he came out of nowhere. Actually, it was really funny. I was on DraftKings, and I was just looking at the betting odds for that the last round.
Right.
And Rahm was like, I think he was 12-1, and I go, you know, it's a pretty good bet as opposed to, you know, what DJ was, which was pretty much even money.
Right, right.
And I go, if you're going to win some money, you know, Rahm's the kind of guy that I didn't do the bet, of course. And, you know, when you look back, you go, you're a genius. Well, you're a genius when you bet on it and it comes in. But Rahm, you know, I've seen that for the last couple of years when he won the Irish Open, you know, just all of a sudden plays golf that is close to miraculous.
Yeah, and he's a streaky putter.
Yeah, he is.
This guy can just start making tons of feet of putts out of nowhere. I mean, he's
almost ready to surpass Sergio already
as
the second best Spanish golfer. I mean, he wins a major this year, and he could easily win at Wingfoot or Augusta.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I think those three guys right now are the guys to beat over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
You know, a couple guys that just on the outside looking in, Daniel Berger's had a great year, and he's a Southern kid. He could play really well at East Lake.
Yeah.
Obviously, Morikawa. I mean, there's so many kids that are just playing. Brendan Todd. I mean, the wheels kind of fell off of his putter a little bit at Olympia Fields, which was surprising because he's the best putter on tour.
So many great young players out there right now. The competition level is off the charts.
Yeah, there's no backing up because, you know, as soon as you do, four more guys are coming through that door.
Right.
Yeah.
How about no Tiger? What's he going to do at Augusta and at Wingfoot?
I'm going to leave this question open. I was talking about it, and maybe because it's too long of a discussion. Yeah, no Tiger. Is golf better when we have this kind of situation where you got four or five guys, like we just discussed, all could win at any time, or if it's just Tiger against the world?
I think this level of play that we have right now without Tiger versus what it was 10 years or 5-6 years ago without Tiger is much better.
Oh, yeah.
And much higher.
Yeah. Is golf overall better if there's one Jack or one Tiger and everybody else is trying to pull at his pant leg?
I think so.
I agree. I think so, too. You're a Tiger honk. I've never been the biggest fan in the world.
I'm just a great play. I just want to see his play.
Yeah.
And you can't argue what he did for 10 years.
You can't.
And what it was and what it did for the sport. You know, but I also don't believe that he can win. I don't believe he can win and get to Jack's number or win 83 without playing more. That's his problem right now. He's not playing enough. He doesn't get enough reps.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he's in a catch-22 situation. You know, he can't. His body's not healthy enough to play the amount of golf or the practice the amount of golf that he needs to compete. And, you know, maybe he did cash in all his chips with that enhanced schedule to finally pull out the Masters and everything else. And maybe that was the last hurrah.
It very well could be unless he starts playing more.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, thanks for joining us again. Congratulations on your hole-in-one, you son of a bitch.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this week on Finding Fairways. As we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be back with you next week with the Tour Championship results and so much more. Brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friend Ken Griffin from Boyne Golf. Ken, we're heading into our favorite time of year. You continue to have a number of events happening on some of the courses at Boyne, but it leaves a lot of room for great fall golf.
That's one of the advantages of having 10 great courses, is that we can do things like host the Mid-Am this week at Boyne Highlands, and then immediately behind it is the Kircher Cup, but still have 8 great courses for everybody to play.
You know what's great about this time of year is even though the temperatures are coming down a little bit and it's great weather to play golf, we still have light well into the early evening.
Yeah, it's been probably one of our busiest summers ever with evening play. I think a lot of people working from home are, you know, working early, getting out, getting in 9 or 18. We see families coming out. We see families coming out with kids. So great. You know, the good news out of all this is a real resurgence in people taking up golf as a family sport and maintaining proper distance.
So let's tell our listeners a little bit about what they can expect as far as rates and packages as we round out the year at BoyneGolf.com.
Well, it's a great time to get on the course because there is a little less pressure. But we've got a twosome special right now through the month of September in the Alpine and Monument at Boyne Mountain. You can play for as little as $47 for two players before 4 o'clock.
That's just amazing.
And it's an unbelievable deal. And then we just had one that went out at the end of the week. It was a Quarry Preserve special at Bay Harbor, our premier location, and just $120 after 1:30 September 20th.
One of the greatest golf courses in America, the Quarry/Preserve routing at Bay Harbor for just $120 is just another tremendous deal. I know, as we keep saying, and we got to get our listeners to do it, go to BoyneGolf.com and check these packages out before the season gets away from you.
Yeah, Warren, even if you just want to sneak away, we've got an $85 stay and play. Even if you have a place, that's not a big way to get away for a night or two.
Yeah, that's a wonderful deal. Ken, thanks for joining us. We'll see you out on the fairways at Boyne.
Gary, thanks. Great talking to you. Have a good weekend.